Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Deborah Becker, in for Sasha Pfeiffer. Investigators believe they have forensic evidence that may put questions to rest about the man widely believed to be the Boston Strangler, Albert DeSalvo. But they're going to have to exhume DeSalvo's body to confirm that. Suffolk County District Attorney Dan Connolly says authorities need DeSalvo's remains to confirm what appears to be a match between his familial DNA and the only DNA evidence available from one of the crimes, Mary Sullivan's rape and murder in 1964.
There was no forensic evidence to link Albert DeSalvo to Mary Sullivan's murder. Until today.
Sullivan was found strangled in her Boston apartment and is considered the last of 11 murders attributed to the strangler. DeSalvo was never convicted of those murders, and he recanted his confession shortly before he was killed in prison in 1973. So, where did the DNA match come from? D.A. Connolly says police followed DeSalvo's relatives until they found a way to collect a sample.
Boston police retrieved a water bottle that one of Albert DeSalvo's nephews drank from and discarded, where technicians once again were able to develop a DNA profile.
But the family is not happy about that DNA sample collection, according to their attorney, Elaine Sharp.
And to surreptitiously get a sample of his DNA is, I think it's outrageous. I think they should have asked us. We offered to cooperate.
Sharp maintains that there are still questions about DeSalvo's culpability, but others say they're almost relieved by today's news. We reached out to author Sebastian Younger. He wrote a book about DeSalvo and his family's personal link to him.
There were massive doubts about his confessions to all the other murders, including Mary Sullivan, and this at least seems to show that he did commit that one murder, which I think speaks to the profile that was developed for the kind of person who would do these kinds of murders. They were rape stranglings of young women and older women, and I think a lot of the sort of, quote, controversy was based on the idea that he just did not fit that profile. Obviously, he was at least capable of one murder, and that makes me think that there's some increase in likelihood that he may have committed the others that he claimed to.
And does that make it almost eerier for you, since you wrote your book 6 or 7 years ago now, A Death in Belmont, which was actually about another murder that occurred that DeSalvo was not accused of, another man was actually convicted of, and you have a personal link to DeSalvo at the same time. You want to explain that a little bit?
Yes, it's complicated, but it's really interesting. In the middle of what were called the Boston Stranglings, Al DeSalvo worked as a carpenter for my parents, and there was a murder in Belmont of a woman, an older woman named Bessie Goldberg, a rape strangling of an older woman, classic sort of Boston strangling. And very, very quickly, they arrested and eventually charged and convicted a sort of itinerant black guy from Mississippi named Roy Smith. He had no history of sexual violence in his past. He died claiming he didn't do it. He refused to express regret in exchange for early release on parole, and he died in prison. So when DeSalvo confessed to the other murders, he was asked about Bessie Goldberg, of course, because he was less than a mile away at my parents' house, alone at my parents' house all day. And he said he didn't do that murder.
And also, for your book, you consulted with Boston attorney David Meyer. He's a former homicide prosecutor in Boston, and he also is now the man in charge of reviewing all the cases involving the drug lab scandal here in Massachusetts. He actually looked at this case against Smith.
He did. He's really sharp. And what he said to me, I'm sort of quoting by memory from my book, but what he said to me was, you know, if the police came to me with this evidence against this particular man, I wouldn't even charge him with a crime. There isn't nearly enough to even charge him, much less convict him, which doesn't mean Roy Smith didn't do it, but that was just what Meyer said. What makes it creepy for me personally is that my mother was home alone with DeSalvo many, many times while he was working in the house, and he was at the very least a serial rapist, now I guess also a murderer, but that makes the danger that my mother was in even more startling.
Okay, for those who haven't read your book, or even maybe those who may have forgotten, remind us of what happened with your mother and DeSalvo.
The scariest incident was before they were supposed to start work, DeSalvo had been on the property with the contractor, and he came back early one morning right after my father left for the office, and he snuck into the basement and from the basement called up to my mother saying, Mrs. Younger, the washing machine is not working. Could you come down here to look at it? And my mother instantly sort of just was like, why is this guy in the basement? They're not supposed to have started working yet. What the hell is he doing here? And the washing machine isn't even on. Like, what's he? And she opened the basement door and looked down, and she looked into his eyes at the bottom of the stairs and said, her blood just froze. Here was this guy she'd only met once, and he had a look on his face that was absolutely terrifying. And she said, no, Al, I'm busy, shut the door and locked it, and he immediately left. Now, had he harmed my mother, had he killed my mother then, no one would have linked it to him because he wasn't supposed to have been on the property that day. I was 6 months old. I would have grown up without a mother.
Did your mother ever tell anyone that she was frightened? I mean, and then he obviously did come and do work on your home.
This is the thing about his personality. You know, when he wasn't busy attacking people, he was an extremely polite, charming guy. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. He was like that kind of old school, very, very polite. My mother made the decision, like, I do not want this guy on the property. I'm going to talk to the boss. And when they, in fact, showed up, you know, the next week or whatever it was, Al was so charming and friendly that she doubted herself. Like, am I really going to get a man fired because I thought I saw a funny look in his eyes? And she didn't tell my father because she knew my father would raise hell, and she just doubted herself.
Is your mother still alive?
Yes, she is.
Has she heard the news? How do you think she would react to the news today?
I haven't had a chance to call her yet. I think after I hang up with you, I'm gonna call her and tell her. I think she'll be very, very interested.
Yeah. Do you think she'll be surprised, or do you think she'll feel that maybe that first intuitive look that she got from DeSalvo was right all along?
She will not be surprised at all. I mean, she was absolutely convinced that he had the capability of at least harming her in that incident. So I don't think it will surprise her at all.
Author and journalist Sebastian Younger, who now lives in New York City, formerly of Massachusetts, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.